The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, yeah, not too bad. Not great news coming from Jerusalem. But before we get on to that, I thought I'd start with something a little bit more positive, a fascinating story about a 9-year-old boy who is apparently the smartest kid in the world. This is what we're told, a Belgian kid by the name of Laurent Simons. And he walked into the Israeli embassy with his parents in Brussels, and he decided that he wanted to explore further studies in Israel. Now, this is a kid who at 9 years old already holds an undergraduate degree in electronic engineering from Eindhoven University of Technology, and he has already registered to do a PhD program, and he's decided that he would like to pursue his studies in Israel. Apparently,
amazing.
He has as his dream designing prosthetic organs. That's what he wants to do, and he thinks that biotechnology and medicine and bioengineering is something that he could pursue in Israel. So he's never been here. His parents have never been here, but they went to the embassy to say, can we please find a way to study in Israel? Very fascinating
what
story.
What an incredible story. Yeah, because, you know, I always say to our friends who live in Israel and maybe they complain about the school system, I always say to them, what are you worrying about? Have you ever met an Israeli who doesn't know everything? So, indeed this 9-year-old, exactly, this 9-year-old is choosing the right place. That's really, really an incredible, incredible story. Wow. But not a good story at all is this car ramming incident in Jerusalem overnight. 14 people, injured, 14 soldiers injured. What do we know about this incident?
Some say 14 people injured, some say 15 people injured. What we know for sure is one of them is pretty seriously injured. A group of Golani soldiers who were in Jerusalem to visit the Kotel, which is not an unusual event. There are frequently events arranged for soldiers to go to visit the Kotel for one reason or another. Many of the brigades also have special ceremonies that they hold at the Kotel. So these Golani soldiers were under the auspices of the army on an official visit to Jerusalem when around 2 a.m. they were apparently rammed on the pavement by a car, obviously driving very, very quickly indeed, and then drove off. So we don't know who was involved in the – there are still attempts to try to find the individual who is involved. But unfortunately, we have these 14 soldiers who were the victims of a really terrible attack as they were just minding their own business and doing what they should be doing in our capital city. And unfortunately, they were rammed. So, you know, there are a few things that we can say about this. The first of which is that anybody visiting Jerusalem cannot help but notice that at every single bus stop, at every single light rail station, there are like bollards, there are like pillars that have been erected by the municipality right up along the front of the pavement where people would normally stand waiting for the bus, waiting for the light rail train, so that there is no possible way in which a vehicle could ram people who would be standing in a group next to a bus stop or next to a train station, because obviously those are the areas where people gather in large numbers. And so every place in Jerusalem where there's a bus stop or a train station is surrounded by these kind of barriers that would not allow a vehicle through. So that's kind of the way that the municipality in Jerusalem has responded to the situation. However, they're unable to erect barriers along all lengths of every pavement in the whole city. So to the extent that a group of soldiers might be walking along, minding their own business along the pavement, of course, they do represent something of a target. And what we've also seen with the uptick in terror attacks going on recently, but in general, is that somehow the Palestinian terror organizations, renegade organizations, whoever, individuals, find ways to do things as cheaply as possible. And car ramming is just a classic example of that, where if they're not sending over cheap balloons, which have got, you know, missiles and explosives attached to them, then they're just using their vehicle to run over people in order to cause as much terror and fear as they can possibly generate. This is certainly a tactic that we've seen used a lot. So unfortunately, we have the situation which has arisen in Jerusalem, which is really, really sad. And of course, our thoughts go to those who have been injured, especially that young person who is very seriously injured. And we obviously hope that they will recover. And they're all being treated, the injured people in Jerusalem, at the hospitals, the various hospitals in Jerusalem. Of course, they are very good at getting together on an emergency situation, unfortunately having had a lot of experience in the past. And so we're just waiting to hear now as to what the current state of those people are who've been injured, and we hope that they will, of course, be returning back to their duties as soon as possible in good health.
Really, really terrible story. The fishing zone for Gazan fishermen was reduced by Israel in response to the ongoing terror that is being sent from Gaza. What are the latest incidents?
Well, yesterday there was a really sad situation where a kindergarten in Kiryat Gat had to get all the children quickly indoors because apparently a balloon with an explosive device had been floated across the Gaza border and was approaching the play area of this kindergarten. Fortunately, the teachers, the people on duty there were very vigilant and alert to the incident that was going on around them, managed to marshal the children quickly indoors. Apparently, the children were feeling the stress and some of them were crying, but they had to very quickly be marshaled indoors in order to avoid being exposed to that explosive device that was simply floating across the border. Apparently, we now find that the Gazans are using condoms, blowing them up as balloons in order to try to get as much distance on their explosive devices as they possibly can. And in response to that, and in response to some other incidents that have been going on, there have been some explosive devices, mortars that were fired from Gaza towards Israel. In response to all of that, the Israeli government decided that they would reduce the fishing zone off the Gazan coast that allows Gazan fishermen to earn their living. And this is one of the little levers that the Israeli government does like to use against Gaza from time to time in order to make them feel some pain, at least, when, you know, things are going the way that they are at the moment, where there's all these incidents happening. And what we understand is that Hamas is not necessarily participating directly themselves in these incidents, but they've effectively letting the cord out. They're reducing the extent to which they're policing some of the other renegade groups in the Gaza Strip. So there's the words gone out that Hamas will allow them effectively to operate as they wish against Israel. All of this is apparently being billed as in response to the recent Trump plan, which is already more than a week old. There was also an uptick in violence in the West Bank area yesterday. A Palestinian teenager was reported to have been killed by Israeli troops when they were clashing in the area of Hebron. Apparently, Molotov cocktails were being hurled towards troops. The rules of engagement for the IDF troops in this situation, particularly when confronting what appear to be civilians in inverted commas, because one doesn't really know these days who's civilian and who's not. The fact that they're not dressed in military garb doesn't necessarily mean that they're civilians, but clearly these were teenagers, young people who were getting involved in violent activities, including dangerous weapons such as Molotov cocktails. And the rules of engagement say that IDF troops are allowed to use their weapons in the event that they feel that their life is being threatened, and they can do that without having to get any permission from a senior commander, because otherwise rules of engagement are very stringent, that no shots are fired unless they are specifically instructed to fire their weapon by a senior officer. In this particular case, we understand that this teenager, a 17-year-old, according to some of the reports that I've seen, was actually shot dead by IDF soldiers the soldier was feeling that his life and the life of others around him was endangered. So, unfortunately, more violence, and we're not quite sure what to expect tomorrow, other than the fact that we're being told that the weather is going to be particularly severe tomorrow. Difficult to understand how that could be with nice blue skies and relatively warmish for winter day outside, but apparently we're getting rain and snow and very severe weather, so that may well serve to dampen the enthusiasm a little bit.
I think that's pretty good.
Well, it should be pretty good for all concerned, and hopefully it will dampen down some of the rioting that is planned for tomorrow. But certainly this week has been a very, very uneasy week on the security front with many incidents along the Gazan border and some of that expanding into the West Bank area. And we understand that, you know, the Palestinian Authority is not currently minded to stop people from committing acts of terror against Israel, given the anger that is being felt within the Palestinian Authority at the moment towards the current events. So it seems as if though the cord has sort of been let out a little bit, allowing people to behave badly, and in particular to commit these acts of terror, which are very problematic and really don't serve to further their cause in any possible way. So I just wonder whether this is the way of just allowing the Palestinian street to express their anger rather than to absorb that from the Palestinian street towards the Palestinian Authority. I think they're trying to deflect the attention away from themselves and prefer to have it directed towards Israel. That's the impression that I'm getting at the moment.
Yeah, there does seem to be, and I've been starting to see quite a bit of it on social media, which we haven't seen before. We've often had this disconnect between the Iranian people and the Iranian government, and there's a very, very clear distinction between the two. We've seen the Iranians themselves reaching out over and over again towards Israel. For the first time in the last while, we are starting to see more criticism coming, and we've spoken about this as well, from the Palestinian people towards their own leadership, which is very, very harsh and a very, very brutal leadership. It would seem to me over this situation that there's some anxiety or there is some nervousness from the Palestinian leadership around the reaction of the Palestinian people. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that what we're finding in the Palestinian areas is that we don't quite have the same disconnect between what's going on the street and what's going on within the leadership, because the leadership really do try as much as they can to keep control of what's going on the street, and they try also and succeed to a large degree to influence the way that people think. So to the extent that the leadership might feel angry, they somehow manage to get that anger also engendered within the general population, and we see a lot of influence and a lot of control over the way that people think. But there is also a rising kind of feeling of independence amongst the man in the street. They haven't had elections for so long. The leadership don't really seem to be taking them anywhere. A lot of the aid money that's being channeled into these places doesn't seem to go ultimately to where it should go, which is to build infrastructure to help the man in the street really improve his lifestyle. So I think there is a growing unrest within the man in the street. And of course, when these political events happen on the international stage, which seem to not favor the Palestinians, as we've seen over the last week or two, then of course the leadership really tried to channel that anger into the man in the street, into the general population, and they try and direct that outwards towards the US, towards Israel, away from the administration, but to try to effectively shield the faults that the administration have and the issues that the responsibility that the administration has for the negative situation in which the people find themselves. So they're trying to deflect that away while, of course, taking the advantage of all the aid money and everything else that comes in. The leadership seem to be in quite a comfortable economic situation themselves, while the general population, unfortunately, not so much.
Finally, KFC opening in Israel, but this time definitely not kosher.
Well, KFC have tried four times to launch in Israel unsuccessfully. And I think the main issue with KFC is that their base recipe has yogurt or something milchic in the sauce, which of course, even for people who have kind of, not very stringently kosher, is not okay. A lot of people, while not being very, very strictly kosher, don't want to mix milk and meat. And I think that they have some sort of a yogurt sauce in their, or yogurt in their sauce, which they fry their chicken in, which makes it definitely not kosher. And when they've come to Israel in the past, they've tried to adapt their recipe to make it kosher, fully kosher, or at least kosher style, so that even though the stores may not be under the auspices of the Rabbanut and maybe even open on Shabbatot, all that kind of thing, and yet the recipe definitely doesn't mix milk and meat. And four times, or at least three times, they've failed. It hasn't gone well. And they are now attributing those past failures to the fact that the recipe is not the original recipe, the original Colonel's recipe.
Secret herbs and spices.
Now, So now they've decided that they're not adapting the recipe. They're back again. They've opened their first store in Nazareth. There are apparently going to be other stores opening throughout Israel, Tel Aviv, Beersheba, and other parts of the country. And they're planning to be quite extensive. But there's no kosherness about their recipe at all. They're going with the original recipe as they do it abroad, which I think mixes the milk and the meat together. And they reckon that something like 60% of the population in Israel would say that's okay. It would appeal to them. So it's going to be interesting to see how this one goes.
It will indeed. Absolutely amazing. And I hope for their sake that the fourth time is in fact the charm. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you next week on Monday morning. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Stay warm and obviously let's hope that everything is a peaceful Shabbat Shalom. See you on, speak to you on Monday.